2017, Part 4, God Bearers. God Bearers. I needed some help this Christmas. I have a pastoral mentor, and he helps me. And he helped me with this, and he taught me this, and it has helped me and is still helping me, and I thought it would help you. So I wanted to share this with you today. We're celebrating the birth of Christ today, but I'd like to back up 9 months to Luke chapter 1, verses 27 through 38. Verses 26 through 38. 9 months before the birth of Jesus, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Father, let your word to us be fulfilled today. No word from you will ever fail. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number one, in your bulletin, there's an outline if you'd like to follow along. Number one, God uses nobodies from nowhere. Do we have any nobodies here today? I see that hand. I'll put mine back up. A nobody from nowhere. That's what Mary was. She was a nobody. She was a young, poor Jewish maiden. And at that time, she definitely would have been considered a nobody. And she was from the backwater village of Nazareth during the first century of the Roman occupation. That was nowhere. So from this nobody, from nowhere, that is where the eternal Logos, the eternal Word of God, the divine logic of God, the divine logic of love decided to take up flesh, decided to become a person. From nobody, from nowhere. In Christian theology, we call this the incarnation. God becoming flesh. He decided to become flesh through a nobody from nowhere. And Mary is known as, I'm going to give you another theological term. Do you like it when I give you theological terms? Several of you beg me, say, "Pastor, give us more theological terms." And I aim to please, so here you go. Mary is known as, in the theological term, the Theotokos. The Theotokos. I like that. Do you like that? That sounds like something from the Lord of the Rings or Return of the Jedi or something. You are the Theotokos. Theo meaning God, tokos meaning bearer. The Theotokos is the God bearer. Mary is the God bearer. The incarnation of God through the Theotokos, through Mary, through the God bearer, is one of the most sacred confessions of the Christian faith. The sacred mystery where the combination of humanity and the divine, where the holy becomes incarnate, where the holy becomes a person, where the holy becomes flesh. The angel of the Lord shows up in an insignificant village in Nazareth. Have you heard of Nazareth before? You shouldn't have, because it's nowhere. It's not Jerusalem. It's not important. It's not the capital city. It's nowhere. It is obscure. It's definitely not Rome. It's definitely not Washington, D.C. It's definitely not New York City. It's nowhere. It's nothing. Be careful of thinking you have to be where the action is to be significant, because God does not work that way. Mary is engaged, but not yet married. And the angel tells her she will have a child and name him Jesus, which means Yahweh's salvation or God's salvation. And Mary is confused about this, and she's afraid about this. So the angel tells this nobody, this Theotokos, he tells this nobody from nowhere. The first thing he tells her is number two. Because she is afraid, he tells her, don't be afraid. And I tell you that today. Don't be afraid. Angels always say that, though. That's easy for them to say, you know. They're angels. But the angel Gabriel shows up and says, don't be afraid. Why? Because that is heaven's message for earth. Don't be afraid. Are you afraid? How can I tell? Well, let me give you two ways to tell if you're afraid. Two ways that fear displays itself. It displays itself through depression, extreme anxiety, and through fear, through anger, an angry fear. So if you are depressed, and if you are angry, my guess is what's underneath is fear. That's your psychoanalytic review today. But fear is displayed through depression and anger. Are we angry at them? Are we angry at the other? I imagine I sometimes go back and talk to my 11-year-old self, my 12-year-old self, my 16-year-old self. Oh, I'd love to talk to my 16-year-old self. Slap some sense into him. But do anybody ever do that? You imagine you go back and you could go back to like middle school or high school and you tell yourself something. Anybody do that? Just me? I'm just a weirdo? Okay. I do this. I go back and I imagine what I would tell myself. The thing I would tell myself is invest in Apple. That's what I would tell myself. No, I wouldn't do that. I would tell myself, don't be afraid. Because I had a lot of fears and anxieties growing up. But I would tell myself, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. You're going to have some hard times, but don't be afraid. The thing is, I still have to tell myself this, because I still get afraid. I still get anxious. And I still get angry. Anybody ever still get anxious and still get angry? Well, when you get anxious and angry, you need to tell yourself, you need to hear the message from heaven, don't be afraid. Now, I'm not talking about denying your feelings. Pastor said, don't be afraid, so I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about, you know, suck it up, buttercup, don't be afraid. I'm not talking about that. That is wrong. That does not work. What I'm talking about is not giving in to depression, not giving in to anger, not giving in to hatred. So you, don't be afraid. Don't be depressed. Don't be angry. Let God help you. And let the others in your life, the other people that God has placed in your life, let them help you not to be afraid. The second thing this angel Gabriel says to this nobody from nowhere, Mary, number three, you have favor with God. Number three, you have favor with God. And I'll tell you that today. You have favor with God. From the, nobody's on the front row, to the second row, all the way to the last row. Who's back there? Jason, are you back there? Jason, God likes you. Did you know that? Even on the back row, he likes you. You have favor with God. Yes, I admit some people love God more. They've surrendered to God more. Some of us have distanced ourselves through God, from God through our actions, but that does not change God. God loves you. God likes you. Why do we love our children? How many of you here have children today? You love your children because they are perfect, right? I'm the only one with a perfect child, right? No. You don't love your children because they're perfect. You love them because when you look at them, you see yourself. You see your image. And you were created in the image of God. No matter how much we have marred that image by sin and wrong choice after wrong choice after wrong choice, God looks at you and he goes, I see myself in there. I see my image in there. So if you believe this and if you receive this, you are a child of God and he can change you to be the person you were created to be. God has deep affection for you. His only dispositions toward you is unconditional, unending love. I know many of you are taught about an angry God. God's mad at you and he's going to cut you down and he's going to get you. But I invite you to get rid of that image of the angry God that you are wrongly taught and understand you have found favor with God because you've been created in the image of God and he loves you. He loves you. I know we've marred the image. We're just like the prodigal son. He's just watching and waiting for us to come back home because he loves us. Number four. Mary could believe more than she could understand. Mary could believe more than she could understand. She was told, your son will be named Jesus, God saves. He will be a king in the line of David, and his kingdom will never end. And when she heard this, Mary... My son is going to be the chosen one, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, the King. You see, Mary was from the line of David, from the royal line of David. And being a young Jewish person, her whole life she had heard stories. David lived 1,000 years before Mary. She had heard stories about King David, King David. They would tell her stories at bedtime about King David, about how he killed the giant. That she would hear stories about how he became king and how he set up Jerusalem as the capital and how he built the capital city. She would hear stories after story. But that was 1,000 years ago. And a lot had gone wrong with the line of David, with the royal kingly line of David. The line of David wasn't even kings anymore. Herod's, that was the line of kings now. And all the line of David, the descendants of David, they were now peasants. Mary was a peasant, and the son that she was about to have, that the angel told her about Jesus, He's not going to be born a king. He's going to be born a peasant. And you're telling me, my peasant son, his kingdom is never going to end? There's no way. There's no way she could grasp what all this meant to her. But she believed more than she could explain. Listen, listen. Christianity is a confession, not an explanation. And I know we live in the days of explanation where we have to explain everything, but Christianity is a confession, not an explanation. We do explain what we can, but we confess more than we can completely explain. We confess that Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. We confess that. And we can explain some of it. We can explain Christ has died. We understand that some. Christ is risen. We understand that some. We have a grasp on that. We've written books and theology. We have all this. Christ will come again. Some people have that down. They understand it completely. I'm not sure if we're right about everything, what it's going to look like. But if you can explain everything about that great mystery, you're wiser than I am. But she has some questions about what the angel has told her. She's told she's going to have a baby, and she has a question. We can believe more than we can explain, but that does not mean we leave our brains at the door. I'm not telling you that. We confess more than we can explain, but we can still have questions, and we still think. We still use what knowledge and wisdom God has given us, and so Mary has some questions she wants to ask. She's going to have a baby, but she is not married. And she is not promiscuous, so how can this be? I don't know a man. See, heaven is not afraid of our questions, so she asked the questions. The version we read today says, how can this be since I am a virgin? But the literal translation in English would be, I don't know a man. I don't know a man. When God said he is going to do something in us and through us and for us, and if you may have heard God's going to do something in you and through you and for you today during this service, our initial reaction usually is, how can this be? Her initial reaction was, how can this be? I don't know a man. And so we say, how can this be? I don't know enough. How can this be? I don't know the right people. How can this be? I don't live in the right place. How can this be? I am a nobody from nowhere. How can this be? I am not qualified. How can this be? I am not skilled enough. How can this be? I don't have the education, the looks. How can this be? I do not have the money. I don't have what it takes. So how can this be? How can God do something great in our life? Number five, how the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. How the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. How can this be? The Holy Spirit. I don't know a man. Well, you don't need to know a man. You usually do. But you don't need to know a man because the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. What is it? Psalms 91. I'll put it from Mary's point of view. Psalms 91 says, she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Her limitations and her impossibilities did not matter because she was going to be overshadowed because she dwelled in the place of the Almighty. She was abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. She is the Theotokos, the God-bearer, because she was overshadowed. But not only that, she is an archetype of all that believe the Christmas message, of all that believe what God says is true. All that believe this can be a type of Theotokos as well. We can all give flesh to something holy, seeking incarnation. What does that mean? That means that you, Mary's situation was unique to her, definitely, but you, through your life, are to give birth to something holy that will not come into this world any other way. The humanity that is you needs to be overshadowed by the divine, by the Holy Spirit, to enflesh something that God has for this world. This is why we learn to pray. This is why we learn how to read the scriptures. This is why we connect with His church, so we are overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, so we can incarnate something that is holy. Holy, that word's scary, isn't it? Because I'm not holy. I'm not even close. I'm a long way from holy. Do you know what the word holy means? It means other. God is said to be holy, holy, holy. He's other, he's other, he's other. We get so used to things being typical, typical. We say, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Every time we say that, that's just unholy. That's just unholy. That's not other. That's not other. We get used to things being typical. And God wants us to be holy. The Spirit of God is always seeking to be incarnate, to dwell among us, to do something other. Mary became the Theotokos when the Spirit overshadowed her and she conceived Christ. That's why we confess He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. But the Spirit also wants you to become a Theotokos as well, to conceive something other. So you need to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, that sounds kind of scary too. I don't know if I want to be overshadowed by a spirit. I've seen the Christmas story with Scrooge, and those things kind of creep me out, especially that third spirit. I'm not sure I want that. Well, what is the Holy Spirit? Besides being the technical, third person of the Trinity, the theological term, I guess we could explain the Holy Spirit by what He is not. The Holy Spirit is not the unholy spirit. The unholy spirit in Scripture is called Diablos, the Hasatan, the Satan, the accuser, the one who brings accusation, the finger pointer. That's what the Holy Spirit, the unholy spirit is. So every time we start bringing accusation and anger and hatred and look at them and I can't believe they did that, that's unholy. That is the unholy spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and God is love. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of intercession. He is the Spirit of help. He's the Spirit that brings whatever is needed. He is the Spirit that brings whatever is lacking. So we need to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit so we bring something holy, lovely, wonderful, beautiful into our world. And you can't do this on your own, and I can't do this on my own. We need the Holy Spirit. So turn off the unholy spirit. The spirit of accusation, the spirit of finger pointing and anger and fear that comes into our world 500 channels at a time, web page after web page, because those things will overshadow you as well, and you will become like them. You will birth something that looks like them and be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. We sang O Little Town of Bethlehem today. That verse says, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us. today. It's a bold image, but quite right. Every Christian is like Mary. Everyone who puts their faith in Christ receives by the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you become a Theotokos, a God-bearer. I had a vision of Mary. Oh no, the pastor's becoming Catholic. No, I'm not. We have a Catholic lady that comes on Wednesday nights. Beautiful sister in Christ. Love her. She would be so happy to hear I had a vision of Mary. But I did have one. I had a vision of a Theotokos, a God-bearer, Mary. It was last Sunday. There was a basket set up, and we said we're going to take up an offering for missionaries around the world. And I saw our small church, I saw you start putting in dollar bills for missionaries around the world. And you put in $300 last week. We're going to divide that through our missionaries and send to them. I saw a vision of Mary, a Theotokos. I saw a vision of Mary. We had a little Christmas tree up that had slips on it. It had lotion and cards and scarves and different things. And you guys started to bring that stuff in. And we collected enough to send out 8 different Christmas presents to 8 different shut-ins that don't get out too much anymore, if at all. And some of you delivered those to them. And one person told me that one they delivered to, she's not doing well, and her blood pressure is not right, and her face looks like it's getting red and because of her blood pressure. And they took that to them. She just thought she was taking a gift and being a, you know, just being a servant, doing something good because the church did it. But I'm going to give her a new title. I'm going to call her a Theotokos, a God-bearer. This year we started having our 5th Wednesday visitations. The months that have 5 Wednesdays in them, we ask you to go out and help the hurting. We just find someone in the church, or find someone who's not even connected with the church, doesn't even like the church. If they're hurting, go find them and visit them. Take them something. Take them a smile and an encouragement and tell them that you love them and praying for them. And I've heard story after story this year. We've done it twice, of how you went. And you thought you were just going, the pastor set up a new program, and now I'm going to give you a new title. Theotokos, a God-bearer. That's what you're doing. You're enfleshing God in people's lives. And that's what every person here is called to do and is called to be. In Jesus' name, you are a Theotokos, a God-bearer. I encourage each and every one of us to live for Jesus this Christmas week. You have your Living for Jesus forms in your bulletin. I just gave you a few things to think about, to pray about. Excuse me. Do you believe that God uses nobodies from nowhere? I like that one. Humbles us a little bit. Maybe prepares us a little bit. Maybe God can use me. Number 2, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Not hide your feelings. Not talking about that. That's out. But do what it takes not to be angry and depressed. Number 3, do you believe God favors you? You can believe that and receive that and accept Christ, and he'll cast out your sin and enter in, be part of you today. And number 4, ask God to overshadow you by His Holy Spirit so you can bring something wonderful into your world. I should have put, so you can be a Theotokos. So put that on there, Theotoko. Theotoko. Theotokos. I like that. Are you a Theotokos, Abby? You are. Never ask a question you don't know the answer to. I see some Theotokos in this place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Would every Christian praying, nobody looking around, if you're not a Christian, if you're not, you say, I'm not a Theotokos, I'm not a God bearer, I want to believe that God likes me and has favor on me, but I've damaged the image of God in me so much. If you would like God to cast out your sin and enter in, that could be you today. And you can be a God bearer today. So just pray that prayer. Say, God, cast out my sin. Cast out my sin. And enter in today. Change me by your Holy Spirit. Overshadow me by your Holy Spirit. Today I am a Christ follower. Today I am a Theotokos. I am a God bearer, and I will do something beautiful, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to let people see how wonderful you are and what you've done in my life. And I thank you for it. Nobody looking around. Everybody head bowed, eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer, can I just see your hand? I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want to pray for you this week. If you prayed that prayer, just slip it up, put it right back down. Nobody will see you but me. I just want to pray for you this week. If you prayed that prayer, can I see it? Thank you. I just want to pray for you this week. Thank you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know? Is the grace.
you're able, with, would you stand with us and we'll dismiss in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, oh God, for this season. We thank you for this great, wonderful mystery of Christmas, this sacred mystery, this beautiful time of the year. We celebrate you. We honor you. Overshadow us by your presence this season. And help us to incarnate you, display something wonderful. We thank you for it. Now, Father, I just ask that you would just bless your people. That you would make your face shine upon your people. That you would be gracious to them because you have favor on them. And give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.